Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. You're listening to another episode of the Basketball Truth, presented by the Red Light Sports Network, with your host, as always, Kevin Cunningham. Depending on whether my guy calls in or not, Ben Oldseater, I will have a guest host. Otherwise, it will be solely me for the next 45 minutes, talking about the NBA trade deadline, mostly, including the Eastern Conference. For the NBA, just talking about post-All-Star break stuff, you know, basically what to look forward to these next 30 or so games in the NBA season. NBA got about another couple months left, and, you know, like I said, another 30 games left. Teams have basically cemented themselves in the East as far as who's who. And so, you know, like a couple days ago when I previewed the Western Conference for what to look for, these next 30 or so games, I'll be doing that tonight over on the Eastern side. Plan for tonight, upcoming, no shows planned in mind, but you know, I definitely plan on getting a lot of college basketball stuff revving up since March Madness is quickly approaching. With that, got our guest host in the studio, and Ben, you there?
Yes, I am. Hello, Kevin.
Hello,
Kevin,
hello.
Can you hear me?
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I can. What's up? Doing swell.
Doing swell.
How are you?
Sorry, I was actually not sleeping. I was got distracted on Twitter looking at all this trade deadline stuff. Pretty crazy day.
The crazy day indeed, Ben. Quite the crazy day indeed. Before we get to trade deadline stuff, because that'll obviously take up a bulk of our show, but talking about the Eastern Conference and what to look for these next 30 or so games that each team has left. And a couple weeks into the season, I mentioned to you that the Atlanta Hawks would be a team to at least look for. I didn't say they would be the one seed, but I figured that down low, I liked Al Horford a lot. I liked Paul Millsap a lot. I think Marcus Teague is a solid player. Kyle Korver is Kyle Korver. So I figured the Atlanta Hawks would be a better team than they have been the last, I don't know, 5 to 7 years, which has basically been a 6 to 8 seed and basically a one and done in the playoffs. I figured they'd be better this year, and you kind of laughed that off. So I'm curious to hear your opinion on the Hawks today.
Oh, boy. See, I was kind of wondering if this was going to come up or if I could just, like, act like it never happened. And I'm kind of disappointed that it came up, to be honest. Come on. Can't you just forget some things, Kevin?
Nope.
Yeah, so I will cop to it. I did not see Atlanta coming at all. This is a huge, huge shock to me. I was way too dismissive of them. Their offense is a juggernaut. It's kind of just crazy. And their defense has played way better than I even could have imagined. Korver, obviously, a ridiculous pace. One of the best shooting seasons in history. Teague playing like an all-star, made the all-star game. He's having his best season by far. Horford, you know, he's always been solid in the middle. I just did not, I did not ever imagine these other pieces being so dominant. They were on that run there where they won, how many in a row was it, 16, 17? And it just looked like they could not be stopped. So, I mean, props to you for seeing even a little bit of this coming, because I did not see it coming whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to say, like I said, I didn't see them being the one seed out East. I mean, I made, you know, I had a show and made a Facebook post about what I thought each team would be seeded heading in the playoffs. And, you know, I think that it's kind of a, we were both equally wrong in the sense that I thought Atlanta would probably be a 4 or 5 seed. So, you know, I thought they'd improve, but not like this. So I'm not entirely God in thinking that Atlanta was going to improve. But I had to give you crap for thinking that they were not a good team. So just had
hey,
to throw
3-3 in their last 6. So can I hold that? I mean, they lost that Celtics. That's not very impressive.
The Celtics are a really good team. So that's why they lost. But,
okay.
Yeah.
Forgot that. Sorry.
So anyway, trade deadline stuff. I mean, plenty to go over, but number one thing that I kind of wanted to get into, because of a lot of our listeners are from the amazing state of Wisconsin, the Milwaukee Bucks. Right now they're the sixth seed in the Eastern Conference, and they're the sixth seed ahead of Charlotte and Miami, who are tied for 7-8. They're ahead of them by 7.5 games at this point, so basically 30 games left. Milwaukee's got a top six seed locked up. Can they catch Cleveland, Washington, Chicago? You know, they're a couple of games behind each of those teams, two or three games. So, you know, I don't know if they'll catch those teams, but even if they don't, they're going to be a top six seed. They're second in the league defensively, efficiency-wise. They lost Brandon Knight, who offensively was, I guess you could say, their most dangerous weapon, because at this point in his career, he's more offensively advanced than any other player on the Bucks right now. At the same time, they picked up Michael Carter-Williams from the Sixers, who is averaging 15 a game. Brandon Knight was averaging 17. Granted, Michael Carter-Williams' numbers were kind of inflated, you know, depending on the stats, because of being on Philadelphia. He had to shoot more, so he was going to score more. So he's not the offensive player Brandon Knight is, but at the same time, he's averaging, let's see, 7 assists and 6 rebounds a game, as opposed to Brandon Knight's 5 assists and 4 rebounds a game. He's also a lot better defensively. To me, Milwaukee got a lot better defensively by getting Michael Carter-Williams, losing Brandon Knight. I like the trade overall for them, because I think that a team that's really good defensively just got even better, and Michael Carter-Williams is 23 years old. So they kept the youth by losing Brandon Knight, but got better defensively and got better in every other facet of the game outside of pure scoring. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that Bucks move.
Well, when I first saw a break, it was kind of shocking, just because you see the Suns dealing for another point guard. I mean, they traded basically they traded Isaiah Thomas and Goran Dragic today, and then they get back Brandon Knight. So it's just a point guard carousel out in Phoenix, seems like. So they'll pair Brandon Knight up with Eric Bledsoe. We'll see who runs the point and who's kind of more the wingman. Everyone has said that Brandon Knight would be better served as kind of an off-the-ball guard. So we'll see if that comes to fruition, with maybe Bledsoe running the point a little bit more out in Phoenix. So, yeah, I was initially kind of shocked. I was like, I'm a fan of Brandon Knight. Liked what he's done this season. He seems like a humble guy. Seems like he would stay with the Bucks, the type of player that, you know, wouldn't be seeking to go to, like, a big market just because. The get back, Michael Carter-Williams, you know, you hear about him winning Rookie of the Year last year, and you see all his really big numbers he puts up, but then you see the downside to that. People say those numbers are inflated, how you already brought that up, because he's playing on a bad, bad, bad Sixers team. And the Rookie of the Year, he won it in a down year for rookies, you know, so it's not held in as high of regard. And I don't know, I had to look deeper into it, because I first kind of saw the trade, and my initial reaction, honestly, was just kind of like, really? Like, it was kind of like, meh. That's what I felt. But I mean, when you look at getting back Plumlee and also getting Michael Carter-Williams and why am I blanking on who the third piece was right now? Who's the third
Tyler
piece, Kevin?
Ennis, I want to say.
Tyler Ennis. Yeah.
I want to say Tyler
As well. It was Ennis, who was just drafted last week. You know, was just the, I think, 18th pick in the draft. So, I mean, that's good depth. He hasn't really broken into the Suns rotation this year. He's been doing well in the D League. They had so many point guards there that he didn't really have a chance. So I think Ennis is a nice get. Just was a first-round pick. Michael Carter-Williams, we'll see what happens. And Plumlee was a really good starter last year for the Suns. Obviously wasn't starting as much this year with Alex Glenn kind of eating into his minutes. So I really do like the depth the Bucks got with Plumlee and Ennis. They also gave up Kendall Marshall, who tore his ACL, so he was out for the year. The Suns are going to reportedly waive him. But I guess, you know, the Bucks had been looking to get these guys for a while. And Mark Stein, one of probably ESPN's leading insider, had tweeted that the Bucks get the guys they wanted all along, Michael Carter-Williams and Ennis. I guess Michael Carter-Williams was his favorite. of Jason Kidd. Kidd has been a big fan of him. He tried to get him in Brooklyn. He tried to get Brooklyn to trade for him, supposedly. So we'll see if Kidd believes in him and he thinks he can turn him around. He obviously did a good job, I think, making Brandon Knight go from an above-average point guard to an almost all-star point guard this year. Maybe he'll work wonders with Mike Carter-Williams. He's not an offensive – or he's put up offensive numbers, but he's better on the defense side, as you have said. There's going to be a drop-off with offense. But do we need the offensive scoring from Mike Carter-Williams? Maybe not. We're building for the future. And Jabari Parker and when he's healthy and Giannis should be delivering most of the offensive punch along, you know, with our other – with Chris Middleton for now. And Plumlee is good at offense. So, I mean, I'm liking it more and more as I look at more things. But initially I was kind of just, like I said, I had the meh reaction to it. What was your initial reaction?
And initially I liked it because I think, I mean, I texted you basically an hour or so after it happened. But to me, Brandon Knight is a great sixth man on a championship-winning team. I think he is a guy that can come off the bench and be a scorer who can handle the ball, but he's more of a scorer than anything else. I don't think he's great defensively. And assist-wise, starting point guard in the league, averaging barely over 5 assists a game, crazy to me. Before this year, averaged 4.9 assists, 4 assists, 3.8. So, I mean, he's getting better. Obviously, he's only 23. He's going to get better. But Michael Carter-Williams averaging 7 assists on a bad team, 6 rebounds. You're just getting better everywhere except off pure scoring. So I liked it. I do think his numbers are inflated, though. So to compare purely numbers is a little off base. But like you said, with Kidd, I think that he'll be able to help MCW a lot. Not necessarily be the scorer that Brandon Knight ever will be, but everywhere else, I think it's just an addition.
Yeah, I like you said, you were a fan of it at first. I agree with you that Brandon Knight would be a really good sixth man on a championship team. Like in Phoenix, he's obviously not going to be the sixth man. He's either going to be the point guard or he's going to play off of Eric Bledsoe. I'd like to see what he does in that role. Kind of more of like a shooting guard, you know, an undersized shooting guard. Because like you said, he doesn't really assist much. He's a score first kind of guy. So I think it's probably a better situation for him with the Suns. You know, they're in a playoff race. The Bucks are obviously in a playoff race as well, but he was kind of putting up more numbers on a worse team. Suns are a better team overall. We'll see how he does there. As for Michael Carter-Williams, I guess just at first when I saw the trade break, it was just, I wasn't as excited because you see everyone saying he's such a downgrade from Brandon Knight. And obviously that's true for this year, but he's only 2 months, I think, older than Brandon Knight, but he still has 2 years left on his rookie deal. Knight is going to be a restricted free agent. So he has a lot, and he's been in the NBA for obviously a shorter amount of time. This is Knight's, I think, 4th year now in the NBA. So he just came in a lot younger. I think Michael Carter-Williams can improve quite substantially under Kidd. I mean, it's the perfect coach to improve under. So any 6'5", 6'6". So our length, the Bucks' length is going to be crazy with that backcourt with Middleton and Giannis. And even down low, I mean, obviously Barry Sanders is gone, but they are reportedly he's gone, but still they're going to be one of the longest, if not the longest team in the NBA. And they're already, I think you brought this up, they're 2 in defensive efficiency. MCW will obviously just help that. So I'm growing to like it more and more. I'm going to have to look up more stuff on Michael Carter-Williams and try to convince myself to be all right with it. I was just such a big fan of Brandon Knight and what he did, even without the assist. So it was kind of a shock that the Bucks did something today. But I think I'll be fine with it in the long run. What do you think was the next, or what do you think was the biggest trade of the day, in your opinion?
I mean, to me, ultimately, it's not the biggest thing today or tomorrow or maybe even next year. But I think and this is getting away from the Eastern Conference, which I don't necessarily want to do, but we're talking about the trade deadline, so it's going to happen. The Thunder getting Enes Kanter, I think that he's, I want to say 22 years old. Yeah, he's 22, averaging 13 and 7. To me, he's perfect alongside Ibaka down low for OKC. I think that he's got another 5 years, you know, of getting better. He'll be in his prime. I think that he's ultimately what helps convince Kevin Durant to stay in OKC. I think that without this move, the Thunder don't make the finals this year, and then it's up to next year. If they win a title, then sure, Durant will want to stay in 2016 when he's a free agent, and every team gets a boatload more money just because of the NBA deal for the 2016 offseason. But the Thunder basically had a two-year window of proving that Durant should stay. They obviously have Westbrook. They have Ibaka. You add another young piece to go alongside Ibaka. He's going to be great because he's not going to be focused on at all on the offensive side of the ball. I think he's just, like I said, he's 22, so he's going to get a lot better. Already averaging 13-7, so to project 17, 18, and 10 eventually isn't a stretch. So I think that having that core of Westbrook, Ibaka, Kanter, you know, all wanting to be together, and you're Kevin Durant, and you're, you know, averaging basically at least 27 a game. He likes OKC. So ultimately, I think that Kanter was an enormous gift for OKC, not necessarily this year and making, you know, a finals push this year, which they can. But I think 2 years down the line when Kevin Durant is thinking of where he should go, he can look in his own backyard and see three guys that are really good. So to stay home, be comfortable where he's at, he likes where he's at, I think that ultimately Durant stays. And so that was the biggest trade to me. I think losing Reggie Jackson isn't a plus, but at the same time, he didn't want to be there. He wants to start. So that's, to me, a plus in itself, not necessarily losing the talent, but the attitude. So I think Kanter will eventually help convince Durant to stay because of the young core that they'll have. What about you?
I completely agree that the Thunder pulled off the biggest trade of the day. There is another trade I do want to mention, the Aaron Aflalo one. I think that'll be one that is interesting, and I want to go into detail on that. But first, the Thunder trade. It was so cool following Twitter today, just seeing all the different insiders. Adrian Wojnarowski, or however you pronounce his name, I always get that wrong. Mark Stein, I already mentioned, you know, just seeing who could get the scoop first. And, you know, you had heard that Brook Lopez was the main target for Oklahoma City. Kanter had come up as being disgruntled in Sacramento. I mean, you look back now at when he was drafted third overall, and that's kind of hard to believe some of these players that go so high. The Jazz took him third overall 4 years ago, and just he was so raw and has gotten so much better. I agree that he has a ton of upside and will be a very strong piece. I've seen a lot of people kind of say that Brook Lopez would have been a better get for the Thunder this year because of his offensive skills. He's owed a lot more money, $30 million over the next 2 years. Kanter's still on his rookie deal. He's owed, you know, they're going to obviously re-sign Kanter, you would assume. I don't see them just letting him get away, and he's on a restricted, you know, he'd be a restricted free agent. So I think that's a better deal for them anyway in the long run. I really think that the key, though, to the deal, too, was adding the depth. You get DJ Augustine to replace Reggie Jackson. Obviously not even close to as good as Reggie Jackson, but still. I mean, somebody else to take those minutes. Deion Waiters can get more minutes now. He was getting more anyway, even with Reggie Jackson there. And you get Kyle Singler, who's a good shooting guard, small forward, went to Duke, so you should be a fan of him. And I think he's shooting 40% from three. Were you going to say more? You love him? Is that it?
Nope, just that I love him. Sorry. You can keep going.
Yeah, no, he has been playing well since, I think he's been playing more minutes since, more recently, I think the last 10 games, they were talking about how well he's done. So yeah, Singler, another good shooter for Oklahoma City to pair with Westbrook, Ibaka, and Durant. And I actually prefer Kanter over Brook Lopez. I heard a lot of people this morning saying that they wanted they thought Lopez was a better deal, or this afternoon saying Lopez would have been fit better. But they have a lot of offense coming already on that squad from even Ibaka, and you know Westbrook and Durant are going to get theirs. So were they going to be able to feed Lopez as much as they needed to? I don't know. I think Cantor will fit better with Ibaka, as you had already mentioned. Cantor is such a better defensive presence than Lopez, better rebounder, and he's younger and cheaper. So I don't know. I think Cantor is a better deal, and I really do like what the Thunder got. I think they pulled off a really good deadline deal, and to see some of these grades, like even just on ESPN.com right now, one of the main breakdown gave Oklahoma City Thunder a D on this trade, which makes zero sense to me. So I don't know. I think that was a very good deal for them, and I think it's going to help out a lot as long as they can make the playoffs. They're still, I think, a half game back. Well, they won today, so they should be tied now with the Phoenix Suns. So I think that's a good deal. But as I had brought up before this, the Aflalo deal, what did you think of that? Were you a fan of that? Because I was a really big fan of them getting Aflalo to pair with Wesley Matthews and Damian Lillard out there in Portland.
Yeah, I'm a fan of it. I liked Aflalo, not a lot, but I liked him. And this year, I mean, I haven't been following him this year at all, but I just heard that he's been having somewhat of a down year this year. I think it's a big get. I don't think it might be as huge as the name portrays itself to be, but I do think that it's just another piece that Portland can add, and I think they needed to. Ultimately, looking at the West, it's serious contenders. I think Golden State, Memphis, I'm still hesitant on Houston. The Golden State, Memphis, Dallas, the Clippers, San Antonio are the real threats, and I think OKC makes the playoffs. I think they got better. I think Phoenix got worse. And even if Phoenix didn't get worse, I think OKC would have beat them out these last 27 or so games. To me, Portland wasn't in that class yet, and I don't, you know, consider them to be even getting a follow, but I think it's something they needed. Again, he's not going to be a focal point of their offense, so, you know, he's not going to get top-rated defenders on him. So he'll be able to do his thing. I think it was a good addition. I don't think it was amazing, but to me it's something that Portland needed to do, so I guess I'm happy for him in that regard.
Yeah, I guess I guess it's just something I wanted to bring up because there is such an arms race in the West that you need to add somebody like an Aflalo. Obviously, when Memphis got, I believe it was Jeff Green, when they did that deal, that was a big deal. I mean, it's just adding another piece that's going to help you. And Portland was one of the few teams in the West who was still good, but really hadn't done anything with its roster, you know, in terms of an add over the off season. So I think getting Aflalo at the deadline was a must, as you said. It was something they needed to do.
Yeah, for sure. And like you mentioned with the Thunder deal before, you know, kind of completely lose that, getting DJ Augustine I think was huge. Not that Westbrook needs an elite backup in Reggie Jackson, but he needs to take a break at some point. And so having an adequate backup like DJ Augustine is important. You know, if you're losing Reggie Jackson, you don't want to replace him with garbage. And I don't think DJ Augustine's garbage. I hadn't mentioned him the first time I brought it up. But, yeah, getting him is definitely nice, especially the fact that him and Durant played together at Texas I don't think hurts either. I just think Durant will welcome him more, especially considering that Jackson was supposedly not too thrilled being a backup in OKC. So,
yeah,
I think it
helps. Sorry, I just wanted to say, yeah, and compared to last year, I mean, who are you going to take? If the Thunder do make the playoffs, last year their backups were Derek Fisher and Reggie Jackson. This year it's basically Waiters and DJ Augustine. Which one would you take? I'd take Augustine and Waiters.
Yeah, probably. I was a big fan of Reggie Jackson. I think he can be pretty good. As a starter, I think he loses value as opposed to being a great guy off the bench. And if he wasn't happy doing that, then to me his value goes down because I don't think he's a great starter. I think he's exceptional off the bench. So Augustine and Waiters, obviously nothing to laugh about.
Yeah, for sure. I'm guessing you had some thoughts on what the Celtics did today. I had texted you about them giving up a first-round pick. I was almost in complete shock that that happened. I mean, they do bring in Isaiah Thomas. It was kind of murky for a little while there. It was reported that Thomas was going to the Sixers, but then the Sixers, I guess, allowed Phoenix to send him to the Celtics. I mean, what do you think about that? And did you hear about that whole process?
No, I didn't hear the whole thing. But, I mean, I will say that losing one of 86 first-round picks that Boston has over the next 5 years isn't the worst thing, especially considering it's Cleveland's first-round pick in 2016. So I'm assuming it's going to be a bottom five first-round pick. It's not going to be a top five, top 10 pick. It's going to be in the 20s for sure. So it's not a huge deal. And if that's all it takes to get Isaiah Thomas, I'm all for it. He's making, I think it's $6.5 million a year the next 4 years, which especially once the cap jumps in 2016, that's going to look ridiculous. Playing for $6.5 million a year, and whether he's a starter or not, ultimately I think he's a great six man off the bench, backing up probably Marcus Smart at the point spot. But Thomas right now is really good in the pick and roll as is, and for $6.5 million a year to be that great six man, he's just going to be a complimentary piece around whoever Boston brings in through free agency or trade or drafting. They've still got a boatload of picks these next 3 or 4 years. So this is just the first move of one of their picks, of many, in my opinion. I figured they would lose at least half of their picks that they have eventually once they have the team they want. And this is just the first part of it. So I loved it. To me, you give up a guy who was going to be 20 years old and was going to take 4 years to develop in the 20s of a draft, and you're getting Isaiah Thomas extremely cheap for what he's worth for the next 4 years. So, and he's in the prime of his career. So to me, it was a great move. I don't know. What do you think of it?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I know that it was the Cleveland pick, so obviously they're not giving up, you know, their own pick or anything even close to substantial, and it's the Cleveland pick next year. So unless something crazy happens, like Kevin Love leaving and LeBron saying, I'm going back to Miami. Aside from that happening, it looks like a great deal. Isaiah Thomas signed a very, very cap-friendly contract for 4 years. I think it was at the beginning of this season or in the off season. I know before he went to the Suns, he signed that really good deal. The cap's going to jump up a lot. So the Celtics are going to have control of him for several years for a very cheap price. It'll be interesting to see how he meshes with Marcus Smart there. I think Smart's going to be the starter. He could be the sixth man. That's a good, you know, that would be a good role for him, I believe. I thought it was a good deal. I just thought it was funny. I had to, you know, tweak you a little bit that they actually gave up a first round pick instead of, getting another one, because the Sixers did the opposite. They got two more first round picks today. So you can see where the Celtics are kind of going, building their team, and then you can compare it with the 76ers, where they're still just building up first-round picks.
Yeah. I mean, to me, the Bucks, who are extremely young, and they have the player, the core that they want, intact. Boston's trying to get to that point. This is the first move in doing that. And then, like you said, the Sixers are – dealing away 23-year-olds, 22-year-olds for future picks. So it's not even as though they see the future on their team right now, outside of Noel and Embiid, I guess, letting go of MCW and KJ McDaniels, who is already looking to be a good defender now, and he's going to be a great defender later as long as he keeps developing. So I don't know. The Sixers somehow got younger, if that's possible, this trade deadline. What do you think about what they're doing?
Well, I was just going to ask you, can you take a guess as to how many picks the 76ers have in the first round right now for this year, if everything were, well, I guess we can, you know, some of them are protected, top this, top that, you know, it might go back to the other team. but let's just count, you know, all of those as the 76ers pick for this year. How many would you guess that the 76ers have? How many first-round picks now after today?
I'll say three, which might not even be enough, but you know the answer, not me.
They have five first-round picks as of today. If everything would work out where, you know, the protections and everything like that, that extend the picks to maybe next year or the following year, it might convert to two second-rounders, of course. But they have five first-round picks, which is insane. Five first-round picks. So, and I would challenge anyone to name their starting five. I mean, it's almost impossible. You can start with Nerlens Noel and then who else you got, because they traded Michael Carter Williams, their second best player, and Embiid's not starting. So they're going to have, oh, JaVale McGee. They brought him back, so he's going to be another starter. The roster is kind of a joke. I don't know. Could you name three other starters on the 76ers, or who even would start? Could you name three other players on the 76ers? Because I can't.
Sure, I could. You got Tony Roten as the point guard. You got Jakar Sampson as the two. You got Robert Covington as the three. Luke Richard and Bob Moutier as the four. Maybe a little JaVale McGee in there. And Noel. You got Henry Sims. You got Hollis Thompson. Jeremy Grant. You got tons of
I feel like you're cheating
team.
Somehow.
just a tad. They also have Furkan Aldemir as well. So that's a big piece moving forward.
Yeah, Nerlens Noel and JaVale McGee, they're two top headlining players now on that team. It's just, I don't know. They should be thanking their lucky stars that the draft lottery didn't get changed at all, because, I don't know, if it doesn't get changed soon, this is just ridiculous. They just keep trading, like you said, young 22, 23-year-olds for picks. I mean, eventually – you got to do something with those picks, don't you? I understand that 2 years in a row they got guys that were hurt coming out of the draft, but you can't – I mean, you have to be also good at drafting as well as lucky. So I don't know. I don't know what the Sixers are doing. They're not even good at losing when they need to tank. They're not even the worst team in the league. Last year they tried to tank and the Bucks beat them out, and they didn't even get the top pick. This year they're trying to tank. And the Knicks are worse, and I believe somebody else is worse, too, that I'm not thinking of. So it's kind of funny. Like, they get all these picks, and they can't even make themselves the worst team in the league when they clearly are.
Yeah. I don't know. But like you said, eventually they have to turn their picks into something, which is why I was really happy to see Boston turn one of their picks into something.
Exactly.
Yeah, that other team versus Minnesota. The next team would be the Lakers. Do you remember what – how many – well, although I guess Kobe's out for the year. I just remember us talking about how many wins the Lakers would have this year, but that was obviously assuming that Kobe would stay healthy. It was somewhere like around 30.
I think it was our caveat. I think, we did extensively discuss that besides the Hawks thing that, I mean, we can never bring up again. I can't believe I brought it up right now. But besides that, I do remember us talking about the Lakers quite a bit, you know, more than we thought we would. And I think the caveat was if Kobe is healthy for the whole year, I think 30 was the number. But I was a big, if you remember, I was a big proponent of them being really good next year if Kobe's back and healthy and they get Julius Randle back healthy. I think they can be, I think I said 40 was their win total for next year. So I don't know that we'll see who they get in the draft this year, but I think 30 was the number this year. It doesn't look like they're going to hit that even close. So
they win 40 games next year and they make the playoffs in the West.
That's the thing. I don't know if they could. I think they could win 40 games next year. I still believe that they could. It depends what happens with free agency. You know, LaMarcus Aldridge is going to be a free agent. There's some other guys. He's just the first one that pops up into my head. Dragic said that the Lakers is one of his preferred destinations, but now that he's in Miami, he'll probably just re-sign there, you would think. Who are the other big free agent names besides Aldridge? Do you know? I can look it up.
You got Kevin Garnett. You got Jeremy Lin. You got Landry Fields. You got Andre Miller. So they could get a lot of guys. A lot of nice young superstars.
Okay, there's got to be some more besides that. Speaking of Kevin Garnett, supposedly he's working on a two-year extension with the Wolves, which is kind of crazy. I thought this was it, but I saw a tweet from one of the ESPN insiders that he's going to be there for two more years. I would maybe say one more year, but come on, two after he almost retired after last offseason. That was kind of crazy. But there's more than Aldridge. I got to look this up. I mean, come on, Andre Miller.
Yeah, there's more.
Andre Miller.
Tyson Chandler. DeAndre Jordan.
Yep.
Those are the bigger names.
Yeah, so, I mean, if they get somebody and you pair him with Kobe, I mean, Lin's going to be gone. I think he's taken up a large chunk of cap space. Obviously, Kobe is the worst, but I could still see 40 wins not making the... Too bad that they lose Lin? Yeah. Well, supposedly... Again, it's funny all the things that you hear that supposedly Lin would go back to the Rockets. The Rockets covet getting him back for some reason. I don't even know.
Not sure what that's about. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. To me, the free agency market, Doc Rivers loves DeAndre Jordan, so he'll resign. To me, Rondo okayed the trade going to the Mavs because they were going to resign him. Tyson Chandler, I'm assuming, will take a deal less than the $14 million he's making now to stay with Dallas, I'm assuming. Gasol, I would assume, loves Memphis. He's been there for a while, and they're still seriously contending out there. And Aldridge likes Portland, and they're only getting better. So I don't know. I guess if L.A. gets one of those guys, then they can win 40 games. But if it's just Kobe and Randall and a guy like
Swaggy P.,
Carl Towns, I don't know. Like who?
You always forget Swaggy P. I don't know why I always have to bring him up. He's pretty legit. Did you see that game-winning three against the Spurs? Come on.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. Yeah.
Still. It was. It's the one thing that I could probably quote from Nick Young this year is that three against the Spurs that won the game for him because I just happened to be watching him go off in that last quarter. So. I don't know. He does some things for the Lakers. He's not horrible. He's better than replacement level.
Yeah. Yeah, next year they should beat out one of those teams out west, like San Antonio maybe, or the Clippers.
We'll have to see. I know you had wanted to talk. We always do this. We get stuck on the West. You had said you wanted to talk about the East. Was there anything else you wanted to talk about in the East? Like, what did you want to ask me about the Eastern Conference besides rubbing it in my face about the Hawks?
Yeah, there's one other thing. We've got, 6 minutes left. The Heat, they lose two first-round picks, 2017 and 2021, which is, when I first read that, I was like, oh, 2021, that's interesting. But that's it's a while away, but it's still 6 years away. 2021, like your 2021 pick. Like you actually have to think about it. That's coming up. The 2021 season. It's just insane to think about. But anyway, so they lose two first round picks. They lose Norris Cole. They get Goran Dragic, who's the biggest name get. And to me, I mean, if they're healthy come playoff time, Goran Dragic, Dwayne Wade, Luol Deng, Chris Bosh, not exactly bad. Do you think
Whiteside
now they're tied for the 7-8 seed? Yeah, and Whiteside. You're right. So, I mean, that five, if Whiteside keeps producing the way he's producing, that starting five, I mean, I don't know. That's not a bad team, if healthy. I mean, do you think they can make noise? Do you think – what do you think of the Dragic deal in general?
I agree that Dragic obviously was the biggest name. I thought it was kind of a little bit overblown today on various networks. It was kind of all about Goran Dragic. You know, obviously he's a great player, but I kind of wanted to see different things going on. So that's just my thought about that. But in regards to the Heat, I think he does help out a lot. When was the last time the Heat had a good point guard? Maybe Tim Hardaway back in the day, because I can't remember before that. Chalmers is always going to be what he is. You know, Norris Cole wasn't the answer. They shipped him out. They kept, surprisingly, Josh McRoberts. I thought they were going to have to package him in the deal to get Goran Dragic and Goran Dragic's brother, Zoran Dragic. So it's kind of funny that, you know, both went over. I guess the Suns were like, if you're leaving, take your brother with you. We don't want you. So, yeah, they kept McRoberts. They got rid of Granger, but he wasn't really doing anything. They have Luol Deng. That was a big signing for him in the offseason. You know, paired up with a healthy Bosh and a, you know, we'll see if how Wade does. He kind of got managed last season. They tried to watch his minutes, and he still didn't really do great in the playoffs for him. We'll see how he does this year. You know, he's 33. I think Wade is still the key team. If he plays better in the playoffs this year, I think they could make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't see them making it to the NBA Finals. I mean, Wade and Bosh have a lot of minutes on them, as do Anderson, Chalmers, Haslam, all the other role players that you need. I mean, they've been in the NBA Finals the last 4 years. So that's basically a whole extra season of playing. So, I mean, that's going to take its toll on them. I don't know if they're good enough to upset the Cavs if they were to meet them in the finals, in the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't know if they could beat the Hawks in the finals. But I do think they could beat somebody like Toronto. We'll see how the matchups go. Obviously, I think they could beat Milwaukee. You know, the bottom of the East is so bad with Charlotte and Brooklyn and Detroit, Boston. I mean, I guess it's not horrible, but the records aren't great. The teams have interesting pieces, but I just don't think they would, you know, really scare Miami in the playoffs. So I could see Miami getting the Eastern Conference Finals, I guess, is my answer. I like Dragic as a player. I think he is a good point guard. I don't think he's one of the top five point guards in the league, but he obviously is going to help the Heat team, who have never had a point guard since Tim Hardaway.
Yeah, I would agree with all that. I mean, it's weird to think of the Hawks being good, though, but I'll leave that alone.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, the Hawks and Cavs, I would definitely favor over them. I still think
the Bulls,
Toronto,
too.
Chicago,
sorry,
Washington.
About them.
Yeah, Toronto, Chicago, Washington, I think all have better teams, but to, you know, would it surprise me to see this Miami team, if healthy, beat those teams? No. So, yeah, like you said, I mean, the Eastern Conference Finals, potentially, maybe. Past that, I'd be surprised. But, yeah, so I think it was the biggest name getting the biggest headlines, which makes sense in that regard, I guess. You know, if everything works out perfectly, then maybe they can shock whoever they meet in the Eastern Conference Finals. But I don't know. To me, he's looking for $100 million. He's looking to get paid. And so if Miami doesn't pay him, then they lose two first-round picks for nothing, basically. So they have to re-sign him. And if he's going to be making $20 million a year, I don't think he's worth $20 million a year. That's basically what he's going to be asking for. So for right now, obviously they're a better team because of it. But down the line, is he worth $20 million? Not in my opinion. Just like Brandon Knight, probably going to be asking for $13, $14, $15 million a year. Is he really worth that? I'm hesitant to say that he is. I think, you know, 10, 11. But, you know, to give him a fourth of your salary or a fifth once the cap jumps, I don't know. I just don't think he's star material. I don't think Goran Dragic is star material. I think he's one of the top, you know, 10 point guards in the league. But I don't think he's a superstar. I don't think he's a guy you pay $20 million a year for. I don't know. I think it's a good deal for now, but you're going to have to re-sign him. So we'll see what happens, I guess. Press for time. Any last thoughts? Last, you know, 20 seconds or so.
I guess, yeah. Just finishing up on Dragic. So we're pretty much in agreement. Obviously, not an elite point guard. He wants about 20 million a year. That's crazy. Curry makes 11 million for Brett. You know, let's just compare that. Curry 11 million. Dragic wants 20. So, yeah, is he worth it? Not even close.
Yeah, I would agree. Well, obviously, thanks for joining. Always a pleasure to have you on the show. And for those listening,
thanks for having
archive
me.
Time, follow us on Twitter at RLSN Basketball.